心谈一谈这个奇异恩典。
Look to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for giving us lives, and also for this beautiful day. We want to thank you as we come before you to worship you and to study your word. We pray that you will speak to us in a special way. Open our ears to hear you and open our minds to understand your words. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hopefully it works today. It is natural for parents and children to have family, loving relationship with each other. Children do not do anything to earn the love of their parents, but parents simply love their children just because their children are their children. Those of us who have children, we love our children, and I'm sure our children love us too. We all love our fathers and mothers. God, our Heavenly Father, created us as special beings, creating us in His image that we find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And then He continues to love us. He continues to love us. God loves us despite all our shortcomings. it is clear, God's love is clear from the famous parable of Jesus, namely the parable of the lost son, parable of the prodigal son. Let us study this parable and see what Jesus wants us to learn about God's love for us today. Jesus came to save us. He came to show God's love to us. Therefore, when Jesus came to this world, He welcomed everyone. He accepted everyone. And He preached to everyone, irrespective of whether one is from a rich background, whether one is a woman or a man. He accepted everyone. As the scripture makes it clear, Jesus usually has two groups of people. One group are the tax collectors, who are considered as the sinners of that time, and another group, the religious leaders, comprising of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. One day, tax collectors and sinners came around Jesus, and Jesus was beginning to speak to them, to teach them. And now, as usual, the Pharisees and scribes also came to Jesus and they started grumbling. See, this man, he is mingling with the sinners and teaching them. That was the context. And in the presence of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and also on the other hand, on the presence of the tax collectors and the sinners, Jesus said this parable. Jesus said this parable. In fact, he told three similar parables. The first one is in Luke chapter 15, we find three similar parables. The first one is the parable of the lost sheep. The second one is the parable of the lost coin. And the third one, which is our text today, is the parable of the lost son. And this parable is the longest. All these three parables has one theme, main theme. And the main theme of these three parables is God's yearning love for the lost people. Let us see our parable. And I divide this parable into three sections. And the first section is the son's departure from home. The son's departure from home, verses 11 to 13a. Our parable says that a rich man had two sons. Surprisingly, one day the younger son came to his father and asked him, "Father, give me my share of the family property." In the Jewish context of that time, it was not normal for sons to ask parents like that for their property. This son's asking demand for his share of property was like saying, "Father, I wish you were dead, so that I get my property." It was very rude. It was not acceptable. According to the Jewish law, which we find in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21, a Jewish father, can take a disobedient son to the elders, and then he can declare, "This son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." After declaring that, the whole men in the city will come and then stone the son dead with stones. This man's, this the lost son's demand for his property was not acceptable at all in their context. Still then, the father loved this son, this obedient son. And so instead of putting him to death, he just gave him his share. And in the Jewish tradition, if a man has two sons, the elder son will get two-thirds of the property, the younger son will get one-third. And so in this context, when the father gave him his share, he got one-third of the family's property. And the story goes on. Within a few days, the son sold out all his property because he was a farmer, a man who had land and sheep and all. And so he sold out everything, took the money, and went to a far country. For the Jewish people, they are business people, and they often go to different countries. We don't know where this son went. Maybe he went to Egypt. We don't know. The text doesn't tell us. So he went to a very far country. The father in this parable represents God, and the two sons represent people, the two groups of people. The elder son represents the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the younger son, the disobedient son, are the tax collectors and common people who are considered by the Pharisees as sinners. So that's the picture of this. That is the original context and the message of this parable. The younger son was tired of living under the control of his father. And so one day he came and then asked his property. He got his property, sold things, and went to a far country. What we learn from this section of the text? The Bible tells us that God created us in His image. That we find in Genesis chapter 1:27. He granted us special gifts, special intelligence. And so we human beings can make decisions. I like this, I like that. We can make decisions. We can make decisions to study science, to study psychology, political science. These decisions are not there for the cows and pigs and others. God has created us in a special way. He has given us free will, intelligence to make decisions. While a few people make wise decisions and follow God, most people, we try to make our own decisions. We try to ignore God and then make our own decisions and try to follow our own decisions. The younger son demanded his property, sold it, and went to a far country. Likewise, many of us, we take what God gives us, be it good health, be it wealth, education, success in business. We take all those gifts of God, and then instead of using them in God's service, we use it for our own pleasure. And we try to ignore God who loves us. Just as this younger son who just left his father without giving him any credit, without grateful hearts. So many a times, we are not grateful to us, although God continues to love us. In spite of all our weaknesses, God continues to love us. And that's what we find from the first section of this parable. And now we turn to the second section. The lost son's life in foreign land. Verses 13 to 19. We are not told how long the lost son enjoyed with his money in foreign country. But what we learn from the parable is that within a short time, this lost son wasted all his money, and he began to he started needing for his life. And now to make the matter worse, from bad to worse, he was in need now, and again in the midst of that, a severe famine came. Everywhere people were hungry, and the famine was not only in the locality where this man was, but it says in the whole country there was a famine. Now, this man, we don't know how long he was in that foreign country. If he was gambling, maybe just in a few months he must have spent all his money. We don't know. But the text says that he spent all his money in careless life. And there was famine. We don't know if he had made friends. Even if he had made friends, there was famine. And so he could not get help from his friends. He was now in a very, very difficult situation. And so out of desperation, he looked out for a job. Fortunately or unfortunately, a Gentile man, a person in that country, means a Gentile, gave him a job to take care of the pigs. And he agreed to do that. And he started doing that. It is so humiliating for the Jewish people to take care of the pigs, because they don't even eat pork. For us, we enjoy, right? The Jewish people don't like it. And in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 7, pig is considered as an unclean animal in the Jewish law. And so to take care of a pig is really humiliating. It is really humiliating. And also the Jews have a saying, a wise saying for the Jewish people. It says like this: may a curse come upon the man who takes care of the pigs. They have that kind of saying. And now this lost son, out of his desperation, he started taking care of the pigs. And then he was now hungry. He wanted to eat. The text says that he even wanted to eat the food of the pigs, but nobody was giving him. And we don't know why he did not get pigs' food. But some commentators say that maybe that rich man had four or five hired people to take care of the pigs, and this lost son was in charge of the pigs when the pigs were in the field. But when the pigs come back, there are some other people to feed the pigs. And so this man did not get even to eat pig's food. He was in a very, very desperate situation. In the midst of humiliation, hunger, now he started getting homesick. He wanted to go back, but he did not leave anything behind. He sold out everything and then left. The only possibility is to come back to his father, ask for forgiveness. And so he prepared as he plans to return. He started preparing a confession speech. Let us see this. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. That was what he wanted to say. He prepared a confession speech. Now, as the lost son reached the bottom of his life in suffering, he realized his mistake. He realized how many, his father, being a rich man, had many hired servants. And he remembered how his father's hired servants never go hungry, but get always enough food to eat. And now he is a rich man's son, but dying out of hunger. So he wanted to return home. He wanted to go back home. And so he prepared a confession. He wanted to say sorry to his father and ask him to accept him again. And so with that, he repented and he set for homeward journey. This part of the parable teaches us that it is natural, it is normal for a son and a father, for children and family to have relationship, loving relationship. It is normal. As the son in the parable claims his inheritance and wastes it away, God has given us many, many gifts. But many a times, like the younger son, we misuse what God graciously gives us. Instead of serving him with what God has given us, many a times we just ignore him and then we just simply forget him. And that is not the right thing to do. In this text, the lost son tried to forget his father, left him, but he suffered. And so what we learn from here is that if we are not grateful to God, if we are not grateful to God and stick to God's love, who knows, a time may come when we may have to suffer like this lost son in the foreign land. Life on the other side of the river may sometimes appear very attractive, like the lost son's first impression. But life without God will not bring fulfillment. Will not end in joy. As the lost son ended up in homelessness, destitution, before long, we will not enjoy life for long without God. Even if we have success in this life, success in business, in studies, we may enjoy here with luxurious cars and all kind of beautiful houses, but finally we will forfeit eternal life if we live on without God. The lost son finally decided to return home in the midst of his suffering. And he was very lucky because his father did not forget him. His father still loved him. And when he returned, his father was still there. This man, this lost son, was very, very lucky. Many of us try to look back to God or return to God only when we reach the bottom of life, suffering. As long as we are healthy, as long as we are successful in our career, in our studies, many a times we tend to forget him. But when we are sick on our bed, we pray. And then we try to look for God's help only when we reach the bottom of suffering, the bottom of life. And this is not wise. Dear brothers and sisters, if we have broken our relationship with God, we must return to Him today. Or if we have never had any living relationship with God, choose this day, choose today, to have living relationship with God, because He is still giving us time. It is not late yet for us. If we come, God is there to receive us as we are. And therefore now is the time to return to God. If we have broken our relationship with our loving Father. The third one, the lost son's return to his father. Verses 20 to 32. And now in this section, we have two sections again. Because when the lost son returns, there were two different reactions. The father warmly welcomes the son, but his elder brother did not like him. And so we have two reactions. And let us first see the father's warm welcome. Verses 20 to 24. And he arose and came to his father. The lost son was bankrupt. He had no more money. And now in the midst of suffering, he decided. And then as he decided, he continued on. He journeyed back home. We don't know how long he took. The Bible says in a very far country. So maybe it took 3 months. We don't know. It took 3 weeks. We don't know. He must be very weak by now. Because he was hungry. He was taking care of the pigs. Yet he continued. And he kept going till he reached home. And the Bible says now, the parable says, but while he, the lost son, was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced and kissed his son. His father knew that his son would not have successful life in foreign country. And so he expected that his son would one day come back. He still loved his son. Although the son was very ungrateful to him, he still loved his son. And so he kept looking out for his son. And one day, he saw someone in a far place, he saw someone. And that happened to be his lost son returning home. And so he was filled with love, compassion. So he ran and he embraced him and kissed him. And this is very striking. Because in the Jewish culture, old men, and especially rich men, don't run. Because running is not, they say, is not dignifying. If one runs and all men runs, then it is like a commoner. And so normally they don't run for their self-respect, dignity. In this case, his son ignored him and then left him, wasted all his money and returned. Yet the father ran to him, embraced his son and kissed him. And this shows how deep the father's love for the lost son. Now, the returning son, reciting, started speaking to his father what he had prepared. And so he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The very act of returning home was repentance. And so the father did not wait for his son to say, treat me as one of your servants. Actually, he wanted to say that. But before he finished what he had prepared to recite, to confess to his father, the father cut him short. And he said, he ordered his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put on him rings on his finger, shoes on his feet, and cut the fattened calf. Let us eat and rejoice. That was the order of the master, the father. And now we need to note here, robe. The Jews that time never used long pants and shirt. They just used long robe. So this robe was a sign of dignity, respect. And putting a ring on the finger is authority. It is a sign of authority. The servants never had this ring. The hired people, the hired servants. And then putting on shoes, it's a sign of luxury. In that context, the servants and then hired workers never use shoes. They would always walk on barefoot. It is the rich people, it is the dignified people, the respected people who had robes, who had rings on their finger, and also shoes. And so that shows that the lost son, the returning son, was fully accepted back into his original place. And not only that, they made a big party. They made a big party. This part of the parable teaches us that God is never done with us. Despite all our disobedience, despite all our disloyalty. Just as the father kept looking out for his lost son, God is always longing for sinners like you and me to come back to him. We are all sinners by nature. For the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. First John chapter 1 verse 8 says that. Now, God will not force us. God will not force us to make decision to follow him. He has given us good intelligence to make decisions. The parable is very clear. The father was longing for his son to come back. But the decision, the father did not make the decision. It was the lost son who made the decision to return home. And therefore, what we learn from here is that we need to make decision to return to God if we have broken our relationship with God. The father in the parable did not ask his son how he wasted all his money, whether he was gambling, whether he was making business and he lost it. He did not ask. But when his son returned, he simply accepted him as he is. In the same way, if we come back to God today, he will not say how wretched we are, what kind of life we lived. He wouldn't bother to question us all those. No matter how bad we are, how sinful we are, he is ready to accept us if we only come back to him. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. He is willing to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a promise for us. If we come to God in repentance, there is assurance for us. God has assured us to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness, from all our sins. The Father's warm acceptance of the repentant Son teaches us that there is salvation for all those who come to God in repentance. Verses 25 to 32 has another tone, the rejection of his rejection by his brother. Now the lost son returned. The father welcomed him warmly, but his elder brother rejected him. And let us see this last part. Unlike the father who warmly welcomed his son, the elder brother rejected him. In the original context, the elder brother refers to the Pharisees and the scribes. This Pharisees and scribes always consider the tax collectors as agents of foreigners, because the Jewish people at that time were living under the Roman Empire, and the Romans had to take the Jewish people had to take to pay tax to the Romans, and these tax collectors were collecting money from the Jewish people, and so they were considered as agents of foreigners. And not only that, they were collecting more than what they wanted to do. They were making corruption, and so they were considered as sinners. Now the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, Pharisees and Sadducees, they think that these sinners, the tax collectors, are outside of the realm, the circle of salvation. They said they are too bad; they cannot be saved. And so they are considered as sinners. And so in one instance, when the Pharisees and the sinner, the tax collector, prayed, it's not there. The sinner said he beat his breast and said, "I'm a sinner, forgive me." But the tax collector says, "I'm not like this sinner. I fast 3 days a week." And so he was saying what he was doing and tried to condemn this so-called tax collector and sinner. In the same way, the Jewish people always try to consider these people as sinners outside of the realm of salvation. And so they show no love for these sinners. And so when Jesus was teaching these people, it was in the first place, the Jewish religious leaders, the scribes and Pharisees, they started grumbling. "See, this Jesus mingling with the sinners," and so on. So these Pharisees had no love for the so-called sinners. And so even here, when the lost son came back, the elder son did not like him. He did not show any love to him. He was in the field when the son returned. He was not at home. He was in the field. And so the son was there. They killed the fattened calf. There was music, dancing, eating, and celebrating. And elder son was returning from the field. And he heard music and the sound of party at home. And so he called out one of the servants and inquired what was going on at home. And the servant told him that your lost brother has come back, your father killed the fattened calf, we are now celebrating. And this man, instead of being happy because his lost brother has come back, he was very angry. And so he did not want to go inside. And so his father had to go out and then tell him, "Please come in." He requested his son. But his son did not obey him. He started arguing with him. "This son of yours," he did not say, "my brother." He said, "This son of yours. I have been serving you for all these years. I have never disobeyed you. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to enjoy, to have party with my friends. Your son, this son of yours, he said, spent all his money with prostitutes. The text did not say that he wasted with his with the lost son. The younger son was going with the prostitutes. The text did not say. But here the elder son simply accused his brother without knowing, without any proof, any academic proof. He did not have any love for his brother. His father said, "It is fitting to celebrate and be glad. For your brother," you see the change of the phrase. The father said, "Your brother. Your brother was dead. He is now alive. He was lost. He is found." And that's a good reason for us to celebrate. That's what his father said. We don't know, the story ended there. And so we don't know whether this elder brother obeyed his father and went in, or he was still outside and then spent the night outside. We don't know. What we learn from here is that we should have love for the so-called sinners. Many of us are not Pharisees today, but many of us have been Christians for many years, and then we tend to think that we are better than others, and we normally think that others, these people, let them do what they like, it's okay, I don't care if I don't do. That attitude is the Pharisaic attitude. The Pharisees have "I am holier than them." That attitude is not good. And that's what this part of the text tells us and teaches us. Dear brothers and sisters, what do we take away from this wonderful parable of the Lord Jesus today? Being sinful by nature, we often go astray from God and live as we like. No matter how promising life without God may appear, what we learn from the parable is that it is not going to be enjoyable. It is not going to bring lasting joy without the Father. So if there is anyone today among us who has broken relationship with our living God, or if there is anyone who has never had any relationship with God, now is the time, and we still have the time. God is loving and faithful. If we are willing to repent and call on Him, no matter how sinful we are, how bad we may be, God doesn't care. He only wants our submission. As and when we return, He is there to receive us as we are. He will not say, "Where did you go? How did you spend? How did you live?" He is ready to accept us as we are. And that's the good news. And that's what we learn from this story. Like the elder brother in the parable, sometimes we feel that we are more than others, we are better than others, and we tend to show little love for others. And that's not a good thing. The parable teaches us that we need to be humble. We need to love our brothers and sisters who are struggling in their sinful lives. Our loving God is always longing to welcome back sinners like you and I. If we repent and return to Him, are we willing to repent from our sins and ask God to accept us? Let us be bold and come back to God. Heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. May God help us and bless us. Amen.